Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive.
And other cool stuff.
And other cool stuff like the Enneagram. No, you can't find any information about the Enneagram on newchurches.com.
No. We talk about it every once in a while.
Yeah, except other than this episode, actually. This episode will be labeled something, something, or whatever Enneagram, because that's what the question is about.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So the little bit of the background before we listen into this question, that's Todd Adkins, by the way, and my name is Daniel M. So we had been talking about assessments, and everyone knows that Todd is a Myers-Briggs guy and I'm a StrengthsFinder guy. And you know, we type people and we
profile
see the world.
Them.
Yeah, we profile them. We see the world through those two lenses. And recently, in the last probably year or so, we've been talking about and thinking about the Enneagram on the Five Leadership Questions podcast, one of our sister podcasts on, why isn't it brother podcasts?
I don't know.
Why is it always sister and like sister church? I get sister church.
I have no idea.
Sibling podcast. One of our other sibling podcasts, the Five Leadership Questions one,
yeah.
We interviewed Steve Cockrum, who created a fantastic leadership assessment.
Fantabulous.
Well. Yeah, and it was neat to hear his thoughts on the Enneagram as well. And we'll put that
Five
all,
Voices.
Yeah, Five Voices.
What's the website if you want to go take it?
Fivevoices.com/LifewayLeadership.
Well, yeah. Look at you. I was testing
Hopefully
you.
Hopefully it doesn't go to
Congratulations, a 404. You passed.
Yeah. So we've talked about it there. And Christina and I have also talked about it on an episode in our podcast, the in-between one, where we talked about different gifts you need to give different Enneagram numbers. So we've talked about it enough and interacted with it enough on social media that we actually got someone who reached out to us and was like, oh, I'm going to ask a question about that. And he did. So here we go.
Hey, New Churches Podcast. This is Peter Englert from Rochester, New York. My question surrounds the topic of the Enneagram, and it really started with a Twitter conversation between Daniel and Todd. If I was to sum up the question about the Enneagram, it would simply be this. We know that tools like this can be harmful, but we also know that tools like this ultimately help us understand not only the people that we live with, you know, our spouses and our kids and our friends, but ultimately the people that we work with. And I know that there's an overall resistance to typing, that people don't necessarily want to be put in the box. But on the healthy end, you know, if I have at least a general framework or understanding, whether it's the Enneagram or Myers-Briggs, how do I start that conversation in a way that helps people realize, hey, this person wants to get to know me. They want to understand me. They want to work better with me. And, you know, I know that we have people that they will do whatever personality test that's out there. And we know that other people, no matter who does the personality test, even if Jesus did, that they wouldn't necessarily be open to that. And so I just want to kind of hear from you. How do you successfully start that conversation and also carry it through so that the team can work better together, specifically Enneagram or Myers-Briggs? And then I have a second side question. Todd, you were resistant to the Enneagram. What helped you warm up to it? And just looking forward to the thoughts that you have about this. Thank you so much for all the ways that you serve the church and leadership, you know, around the United States and ultimately around the world. Thank you so very much.
All right. I love this series of questions. Really is a series of questions. But I do love this because, man, it's going to give us a lot to talk about. So let's start with you, Todd. Why were you resistant and how did you overcome your resistance to the Enneagram?
So the real first question is, what do you think Peter is?
He's probably a 9. Peacemaker?
No. I'm going Myers-Briggs.
Oh, you're going Myers-Briggs. I don't know, man. That's you.
I think he's an EN.
There is no way you can figure that out from this question.
Please?
Seriously?
Yes. How long was the question, Daniel?
Yes. Oh, it was way too long. He somehow found a way to get longer than 45
totally.
Seconds.
From types of stuff he said, I'm guessing E and F, and I can't tell if he's a J or a P.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's get back to you, Todd.
I would say he's an E and F on the cusp of J and P.
Okay, why is typing effective and a useful tool as a leader?
The typing is effective as a leader because then I know how to interact with that person. Yeah. I know typically what they're going to respond well to and what they're not going to respond well to, how they handle conflict, how they're going to interact with other people on the team, team dynamic, how they're going to respond to change. Mm. There's all kinds of really fun facts that you can learn about somebody by knowing their type. Now, also that you have to consider is you actually have to get to know that person because experience and the good Lord changes a lot of those things. There can be weaknesses that you have or strengths that you have that the Lord rounds out in your growing spiritual maturity and the different life experiences that you have because you may have a natural tendency. Normally you wouldn't, you know, be the best at, let's say, holding on to details or answering emails or whatever. But if there's a massive response to that at some point in time in your life, whether that be a parent or I lost a job because of, you know, I was weak in an area, we can overcompensate and nobody even knows that that was ever a problem to begin with. There's all kinds of different things, but you really do have to get to know the person, but it's really a great base to build off of once you understand somebody's type.
Yeah, that's a really good point. When you think about it, I mean, one of the biggest resistors or what I guess posits itself as resistance to any of these assessments is that idea that, hey, you're boxing me. You're putting me in a box. And I don't like that. And I think what you said there, Todd, about you actually need to get to know the person is what's going to prevent that.
Right.
If all you're doing is typing people or asking people to do assessments here and there and you're just treating them the same or you're treating them based on their assessments, maybe even trying to manipulate and take advantage of that by mm-hmm. what you know of them through those assessments. And yeah, obviously people would react in that way. But if you approach them with love, as Jesus calls us to, right, and you seek to serve and not be served, then it's different. One of the things I love about the Strengths Finder is that in as much as you get your top five themes, which lead to strengths, which can really, when you take those talents within those themes and pour investment in them and it then produces strengths in your life, that raw theme, that those raw talents that you have that the Strengths Finder helps you uncover, it doesn't mean that you're automatically mature in those things. I mean, every Strengths Finder theme has a shadow side. They're character neutral. So as a result, someone can use a communication theme. Like Billy Graham and Hitler probably both had communication as one of their themes. Right?
Blasphemer.
They did, but how did they use it? Right? They used it very, very differently. Now, just because you have the communication theme doesn't have anything to do with whether you're an extrovert or an introvert.
No.
Right? But you see how in each of these themes that there's a sense of maturity and character development that's in it. So if you wholly and 100% rely on one personality assessment and you only hold to that and disregard others, I think that's where you can find yourself in a dangerous spot because there's no one assessment that fully reveals who you are or helps you understand who you are.
And that's why it's fun to take multiple ones.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to be careful too because some of this can be a little horoscope-ish.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, I can be, and that's honestly what some people think about assessments. It's like,
about the Enneagram?
Well, and about the Enneagram in particular. Just that it's like, oh, it's general. I could read myself into almost any one of these, categories.
So what turned the boat for you then on Enneagram?
In part because I have to, this is my job. I mean, if enough people are talking about the Enneagram, I need to be intellectually conversant on the Enneagram and what I like about it and what I don't and where it's strong and where it's weak. And, you know, you mentioned shadow side. That's probably one of the the best best parts of the Enneagram is it cuts to the quick on the shadow side of things.
Yeah, it reveals your core motivations.
So I'm an 8 wing 7, by the way.
Yeah. So what does that mean?
You guys already know I'm an ENTP with J tendencies. And the way I would describe that is similar to what I would describe an 8 wing 7, because, you know, all these things tend to overlap. An 8 wing 7 is going to be usually a more dominant person, but it's going to be definitely tapped into a fun side, an entrepreneurial side, a people side, whereas an 8 wing 9 would look different.
Yeah. I'm a 3 wing 4. What's been neat about this assessment is, and this is why I love the Enneagram so much, and obviously, I mean, there's downsides and positives to every assessment out there, and it's only recently where I've kind of reappreciated the Myers-Briggs, because for a while I'd been skeptical because I just kept on testing different.
More blasphemy.
So in the Myers-Briggs, I'm an INTJ. Strengths finder, I'm a maximizer, learner, intellection, developer, and strategic. And Enneagram, I'm a 3 wing 4. The reason why this has been so neat for Christina and I, and why we've talked about it on the podcast we do together, is because in every other assessment, Todd, Christina and I are opposites.
Right.
But on the Enneagram, we're both threes. She's a 3 wing 2 and I'm a 3 wing 4. And what's been neat is just seeing each other through this lens. So a 3 is someone who's an achiever, ambitious. You know, they want to go, but the 3 with the 4, there's a little bit more of an artistic flair to that that the 4 brings in. So there's so much, you can just look it up, and there's more and more books that are written about the Enneagram. So let's get to the last question, I believe. Hopefully we've answered all of his questions. But the last question, how do you want to, or at least the way that I've interpreted what he said, if you want to use this in your leadership and use this maybe even in your church, any one of the assessments, how would you go about it?
How would you go about using it? Well, I heard him say a couple of different things. One is how to use it with a person and help them understand that you're not using it from a manipulative posture.
Yes.
Sounded like.
Yep.
The other would be like, how do I use this with a team or a staff?
Yes.
Which one do you want me to answer, or both?
Well, you go one and I'll do the other.
Okay. I would say when I'm using this with a staff, I want to make sure that everybody is using the same assessment. Mm. That it is a...
Same assessments. I wouldn't just use one.
Yes. I think you guys have heard us talk about the internship program here at Lifeway that we run. And in that one, I always use the 3, Myers-Briggs, StrengthFinder, and Emotional Intelligence. If you use 3 like that, it can really help you get a good view of a person. But more importantly, your job is to help them understand who they are a little bit better, their God's workmanship, and, you know, help them understand how they're wired so that both you and they can position themselves in the best spot to bring the most success to whatever ministry it is you guys are doing. To do that, you do want to use the same assessments, meaning I'm going to put everybody through emotional QuickBooks and emotional intelligence QuickBook. I'm going to use that book and assessment and have them walk through it. Pick a solid, reputable Myers-Briggs. Pick a solid, reputable, well, just do StrengthsFinder, the real one. Don't skimp out and do the free version or anything like that.
Is there a free version?
There is.
Oh, okay.
Sketchy.
Probably some copyright.
Yes.
Issues around that.
Well, long story short with all of it, guys, you just need to go ahead and say, we are going to make sure that we have time to take these, process them, and then have a series of follow-up, you know, afterward. The big thing is don't just go to look around. Make sure that you're getting know what you're going to get out of it and how you're going to apply it and have a plan for it. Not just, hey, let's do this because it's a hot thing to do.
Don't just do it and leave it. make sure you have a plan of integration.
Right.
And how are you going to revisit it? How are you going to encourage development, right? Staff development around it, as well as communication and team building. And yeah, so completely. Before I get to the last part of that, which is how do you then introduce this to your church, I did want to share that today's episode is brought to you by the Daily Discipleship Guide. One of the greatest predictors of a disciple's spiritual growth is regular Bible reading. And that's why Lifeway created the Daily Discipleship Guide. This new resource in the Bible Studies for Life family contains content for a weekly group Bible study, but it also includes 5 daily devotions to reinforce what was learned in the group meeting. And that daily commitment to reading God's Word helps create a habit that leads to discipleship. So to download 4 free sessions of the Daily Discipleship Guide, just go to BibleStudiesForLife.com/DDG. That's BibleStudiesForLife.com/DDG.
DDG.
All right. So how do you introduce this to your church? So in the last few churches that I've been a part of, I created this program where we would help churches figure out and our members how to serve. Right. And it wasn't really a shape. I didn't use shape or place or whatever other of the curriculums and the acronyms were out there. I created one myself. Not an assessment, but I created a process myself where we would lead people into understanding what spiritual gifts were. They didn't take the spiritual gifts assessment, but I wanted them to understand what that was, giftedness, and how God calls us, and the entire conversation around that. And then they took the Strengths Finder, and then I actually did a session with them because I'm a Strengths Finder coach, where I would actually help them understand how to then. What their greatest talents and strengths are, and how they can actually develop those talents into strengths, both personally, spiritually, in community, and also how they can best serve within a church setting. So for me, I didn't do spiritual gifts or Strengths Finder and said, based on your profiles, this is where you should serve. No, for me, what I did was I was like, okay, this is what spiritual gifts are. Here are what your Strengths Finder themes are. Now, where are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? What area of ministry are you most excited with? Well, let's partner you with that area. And then based on your gifts and your talents and your themes, let's then find the right role for you within that team. So I always started with passion first and then helped them get plugged into and serve in a capacity that best suited their talents and how they wanted to grow.
I like it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in. Hopefully that was helpful for you and gave you a little bit more clarity. I mean, we didn't really do the whole episode around the Enneagram. I mean, I don't know if we're really qualified to do that, but look it up. And I know there's quite a bit of controversy around it as well, too.
Yeah. So. Be careful. It looks like a pentagram, folks. Yeah. I'm just saying.
There's something there.
There's no perfect assessment out there.
No.
But a lot of them are helpful. So take a look, choose. We have our favorites. Thanks again for listening in. And actually, before you tune out, we do encourage you to check out the One Thing podcast. So that's with our friends Scott Sanders and Derek Hanna from the Land Down Under. They're part of the podcast network, our podcast network family. And they've talked about religion in 2019, best practices for church administration, understanding your church members. Just look up the One Thing on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.